Special guest this morning, Dr. Todd Buchner, will come up and give us God's Word. He's the new director for CTC, Christians Teaching Christians. We've prayed for them already. We're very glad to have you, Todd. And please let us know at some point how we can be praying for you. That'd be great.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'd like you all to stand to receive God's blessing and the benediction. No, I'm kidding. Relax. Devin's children's sermon was excellent. He did a great job. Basically, my sermon. So I just wanted to recognize that. We appreciate that. You have an adorable church, Covenant Children here in this church. So that was a real blessing. If you do have your Bible, I'd encourage you to turn with me to Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians chapter 1. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. Church's greatest danger is not the anti-gospel outside the church. It's the counterfeit gospel inside the church. The church's greatest danger is not the anti-gospel outside the church. Its greatest danger is the counterfeit gospel inside the church. Nobody walks around with a t-shirt that says, "Hug me, I teach a false gospel." But what makes so many dangerous who preach a false gospel is that they seem to be such nice people. They say all the right things. They do a bunch of nice things for all kinds of individuals. They talk like Christians talk. You know, they use all the right terminology. They talk about how they got saved. They tell people to trust in Jesus Christ. They present the gospel. However, the most dangerous teachers are the ones who preach a different Christ, but they still call him Jesus. Like a preacher who always talks about the gospel but never confronts sin, you know the type. Or a theologian who calls himself an evangelical who teaches that there are many ways to God, or even that Jesus will save people through other religions. What our text teaches us this morning is this: the most serious threat to the one true gospel is something that is also called the gospel. Let me say that again. The most serious threat to the one true gospel is something that's also called the gospel. The principle I want to establish this morning with you is this: not everyone who calls himself a Christian serves Christ. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian serves Christ. And not everything called the gospel is the gospel. Amen. You see, it's not mere words that save, we learn in this text. It's the realities of the one true gospel: Jesus and his death and his resurrection for sinners like you and me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who is the Jesus you believe in? Who is the Christ you profess? Not everyone who calls himself a Christian serves Christ. And not everything called the gospel is the gospel. Is the Jesus you believe in God as well as man? Is he the Christ who is judge and savior? Is he the Christ whose righteousness alone can make you right with God? Question: can you distinguish between the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the false gospels in the contemporary church? There's the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, the gospel of family values, the gospel of self, the religious tradition gospel, the gospel of morality, the conservative political party's gospel. Can you distinguish between the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the false gospels in the contemporary church? Again, our reading for this morning comes from Galatians, the first chapter. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. I remind you that what is being read is the very word of God, and it would serve us well to pay careful attention. But before we read it, let's ask God to bless the reading of it to us. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, this is your word, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible. I pray our only rule of faith and practice. And Lord, we ask that you would unstop our ears, that you would remove the scales from our eyes, that you would crush our hearts of stone, that you would fill us with a word from you this day, and that we might be changed forevermore. Forgive the one who speaks, for his sins are many. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands true forever. Amen. Can you distinguish between the true gospel and a false gospel? The church itself promotes, if you will, a false gospel far too often. We know in the contemporary church today, we see a great distortion of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And my question to you again this morning is this: can you make the distinction between the true gospel of Jesus Christ and a false gospel? I'll tell you a story. I was over in Africa for 16 days just recently, and one of the things that I continuously taught and tried to present and to share with the people that I came into contact with was the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we saw read earlier in 1 Corinthians, the things of first importance, if you will, the basics of the gospel of Jesus. And I had done a talk on the gospel from texts like this and others through for over an hour. And my plea with about 100 individuals in a South Sudanese refugee camp in northern Uganda, I had pleaded with them to please embrace the gospel of Christ, to hear the good news of Jesus, to know what the good news was, to be able to teach it, to be able to defend it, to love it, to embrace it, to know it. And I gave it to them over and over again. And my plea with them was this: I don't care if the next man that's a short, little, chubby, white man like me, if he comes in here and he promises to buy you a new roof, but if he teaches you another gospel, throw him out of here. I begged with them and I pleaded with them. If the next man that comes in here and tries to teach you something that you cannot see clearly in the Word of God, cast him out of here. I don't care what he promises you. I don't care if he's bringing money and food, which you need and I know you need. Hold and cling fast to the gospel. Don't trade the gospel. And this went on for like an hour and 15 minutes. Don't worry, I won't be that long today. Don't worry. I won't. And I pleaded with them, and they wanted to go more, and I went more, and I don't know how long we actually went, but finally I was played out, and they were played out, and we moved on. And we had lunch. And they asked at lunch, would you be the one to come back and speak again after lunch? And I thought, boy, I could use a break this afternoon. But yes, I'll be back. Do you know, within 45 minutes, I stood up again in a nice little pulpit that I kept knocking over because it was held up with stones, and it was basically a stick with a little piece of wood on top of it. And as you can tell, I like to move things around, so I like things that are solid. I don't like pulpits I can pick up and carry with me. But 45 minutes later, I came back, and I stood up after lunch, and you know what I did? I gave them a false gospel. And I went on for 15 minutes speaking untruths that made me uncomfortable. A false, phony gospel. A name it, claim it gospel. Completely contrary to the Word of God. And do you know what happened? Every individual I started to pack up and say, there's no sense in me being 6,000 miles away from home. I don't know if I was that far away from home, but it felt like it. And home seemed a whole lot further away now that I couldn't find anyone to agree with the real gospel except the guys I came with. And I started to pack up my bags. No. Where are you going? What are you doing? I said, what's the sense of staying? I shared with you all a completely disgraceful false gospel. And all because I threw in little things like, oh yeah, and I'm thinking we're going to get a roof for this church for y'all, and we'll probably be sending you some money along the way. You were all willingly, freely open to the idea to agree with anything I'd say. Think about that. Now what's at stake? Nothing much. Not a roof, not your next meal, but eternity. That's what's at stake. So why is this topic essential? Why is it important? Well, I think the world at large is suffering from falling prey to embracing a gospel that's not a true gospel. And that's exactly what we see taking place here in Paul's epistle to the church here. If you look at the text closely, you'll see that something's occurring that has Paul upset. Paul's angry about something. We read the text and we often forget that there's emotion behind those men that God called and spoke through and wrote through and gave us his word through. There's emotion in those men. God created them. Paul's angry about something here. Did you notice what Paul's angry about? New converts in the church in Galatia are so quickly deceived into embracing a distorted gospel. And he's gobsmacked is a good word here, and I got that from some commentator. That's not mine. And literally what that means is he's like he was smacked in the face. Look at what he says in verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you. I understand that. If any of you are members of our prayer page on Facebook, Christians Teaching Christians, there's a picture that everybody laughs about. It's me standing there like this. That occurred right during these sessions that I was teaching. I was gobsmacked. It was like they smacked me right in the mouth, and not only that, they smacked my Lord and Savior too. Because we had labor to share the truth with them, and they were quick to desert it with even the slightest, or excuse me, even the most grotesque distortion. Could you clearly distinguish between the true gospel and a false gospel? You know, there's a saying the old Puritans used to say all the time, Satan will tell you 100 truths just to trip you up on one lie. And it only takes one lie to distort the gospel. How well, believer, do you know the gospel of Jesus Christ? One of the goals of our ministry is this, and it's something I'm going to push, and Bob and I are working through together. We want individuals to be able to clearly state and articulate the gospel in 3 to 5 sentences. Can you do that? Now, at least you think I'm here just to scold you. I'm here to show you my passion for the cause. Because remember, what's at stake? What's at stake? Eternity. Eternity. Heaven and hell. And what I know about Africa itself are there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of individuals who heard a false, distorted gospel this morning who were sent straight to hell. Who are heading straight to hell, excuse me. Because they didn't hear the truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They've heard silliness, crazy talk. A pastor who said, bury me. The Bible says, if you bury me, don't worry. I'm so holy and righteous and good and all those things. There's Jesus and then there's me. It had to be his mindset. He told his congregation to bury him. And in 3 days he would be raised again. So you know what the congregation did, don't you? They went out and dug a hole. They dug a hole. They buried this man alive. Their pastor. Because he told them. Now, if I see anybody with a shovel in here, we're out of here. They went out and they dug a hole. The pastor got in the hole. They covered up the hole. And what did they find 3 days later? It wasn't Easter morning. 3 days later, went out and dug the man back up. There he was. What's at stake here? Heaven and hell. People's souls. People's souls are at stake. Paul knows this. That's why Paul's upset with these early converts here. You know, this takes place during one of the most famous in all of church history's missionary journeys. The converts in Galatia. Miraculous things were done. People were coming to saving faith. All this stuff. And we're told in the text, if you look closely at the first 10 verses, we're told in the text that behind Paul in the good news of Jesus Christ comes these troublemakers who also call themselves the church. Who also say they have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who also say enough of the right things to earn, if you will, an audience with those they're trying to engage. They're called the Judaizers. And Paul gets news of this, and he writes this letter quickly. The minute he writes this letter, I can almost see him. What are they doing? They're abandoning the faith. And he writes to them, and he's pleading with them. He's hoping that they haven't gone too far, that they haven't fallen prey to these people who have come along and have said, yeah, it's all right, believe in Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. Jesus did die. He did die for your sins. Believe that. He was raised, if you will, for your justification. See, the Judaizers were educated people. They knew the lingo. They knew it. They knew how to talk to people. That's all good and true. Believe those things. But by the way, you also have to become Jewish. That's basically what it boiled down to. Believe in Jesus and the work of Jesus on the cross and his death and resurrection, but become Jewish as well. You must be, to be accurate to the text, they wanted them to be circumcised, right? They wanted to add the law. Anything, beloved, anything in addition to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, anything added is no longer the real gospel. It's not Christ plus something. It's Christ alone. I don't know about you, but that's good news. The minute we add something to the gospel of grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone, I'm frightened. Anything I add to the cross work of Christ, anything I add to the power of the resurrection, anything I bring, or I think I'm bringing, is a better way to say that, because we bring nothing, right? We bring nothing to our salvation except sin. That's what you are, a sinner. That's why Christ had to die. That's what you brought. We brought the need for Christ. Anything we try to add to his work of pardon and forgiveness distorts and ruins the entire gospel. It's gone. It's no longer good news, it's bad news. Because here's what I know. I am not that good. Don't be spread that around town. I'm not a very good person. I'm sinful. I say the wrong things. I think horrible things, and I've done things that I hope my mother never finds out about. Aaron brought one of those sinful preacher guys this morning. What's he doing? I'm the reason for Christ. Because that's what I bring, sin. So if I add any of myself to Christ, I distort the gospel. The good news becomes bad news because I can't bring anything. Right? Now, I'm a sinful person. I've already confessed that to you, and you don't even know me. You don't even know how sinful I am. But you know what? So are you. People say, why are you so passionate about the gospel? Well, look at the text. I've only read 10 verses to you. I would encourage you, this is the Lord's Day, it's Sunday. It's the day we should focus upon the Lord and study his word. Go home and read the entire epistle. It won't take you that long. Basically, the text is true. The first couple chapters give you doctrine. The second couple chapters give you practice. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul's epistle to the church in Galatia is the good news. The reading we took from 1 Corinthians, that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Go home and read it this afternoon. But what I'm pleading with you this very moment and this very hour is this. Could you rightly defend the good news of Christ? And what gospel have you embraced? Is it a gospel of grace? Or is it a gospel of grace plus something? I don't know what it is. It's the gospel plus, well, I have a good mouth. I don't say bad words. It's the gospel of, well, I don't drink. I'm not even one of those guys that say you're allowed to have a little bit. Is it the gospel of, I'm a Republican. I believe in Jesus, but you also have to be a Republican to go to heaven. Oh, geez, I'll never be asked back now. But think about it, though. I have a point, don't I, somewhere? I do have a point, right? See, remember, the gospel you preach is the one you have to live by. Be careful, beloved. Be careful. Be warned. Make sure the gospel you preach is the gospel of grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And don't add anything to it. Whatever you add to it, you'll live by. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live by that. I want to live by the work of Christ alone. If you leave here with anything today, please leave here with this. Here's the truth of the text. The truth of the text is this: God saves sinners. It's that simple. Now wait a minute. 4 years undergrad, four years of grad, 4 years of postgrad, and the best you got for us is God saves sinners. I'll tell you what, that's worth every dollar I ever spent. To be able to profess, believe in that great essential truth of God's word, that it's God who saves sinners. And God alone. And there's a world out there that believes in so many false gospels, and they sneak in our lives and they play out daily in our relationships. Our relationships at home, at work, even at church, they play out. You see, the greatest danger to the church doesn't come from outside these horrible walls. It comes from within. That's what we're seeing here. Hold each other accountable to the gospel of grace. That's what Paul does here. He's gobsmacked, but he loves his people. And he's urgently pleading with them. What's wrong with you? You're so quickly deserting the truth. Please, please return. They've come in and they've distorted it. What are you doing? Because I want you to notice something closely. When you embrace a false gospel, according to Paul, what are you actually doing? Look at verse 8 with me quickly. But even if you or an angel from heaven, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be an anathema, a curse. Send him to hell. That's what it says in the Greek. Send him to hell. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul is really telling us here, when we trade the true gospel or distort the gospel of Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form, who we actually abandon is God himself. That's what he's saying here. When you trade the true gospel for any fake version of the gospel, which is actually not another gospel. Remember, the gospel simply is good news. What's the good news? Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took on flesh, became a man like you and me, led a completely obedient life on our behalf. Not only that, he hung on a tree and paid for the sin, because my sin's horrific. And his death for my sin was received by God the Father, because that's the only thing that would appease that wrath that was due to me. He was taken down from that tree and thrown in a tomb. This is God himself, God incarnate, Jesus, both God and man. But you know what? That tomb didn't hold him, did it? 3 days later, we know that sacrifice for sinners like you and me was indeed received by the God of the universe, because 3 days later, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Sealing the deal, if you will. Our pardon free and given through the work of God, our Lord Christ Jesus. And not only that, I rejoice in the fact that king, that glorious king, the one that will wear the crown for all eternity, the true king of people like you and me, he's coming back to get me. He didn't leave me here. He gave me God the Holy Spirit. And now with great joy and anticipation, I'm not only thankful for what he did for me, I wait with long expectation for his return, that we might all be gathered together and spend eternity the way we were created to spend it. Amen? Think. That's the good news. And that's how personal it is. And Paul took this personal. Now, in conclusion, here's what I want you to be able to do. And I think this is what Paul wants us to be able to do. We of all people should be a people who know the gospel. Do you know it? I just gave it to you. And if I had to be honest, you've heard the gospel now 4 times. Different ways, but you've heard the gospel 4 times. Do you know it? I want you to know the gospel. Know the true gospel in order to share the gospel. We don't want to be ambassadors for Christ that are out there promoting something that brings disgrace to Christ. Amen. Know the gospel. Share the true gospel. Furthermore, be able to teach and preach the gospel. One of the things I tried to do in Africa is this. Learn a couple phrases. Learn the gospel. You can speak for hours. Again, I'm not going to. You can speak for hours from the scripture. Devin made a great point. The point he made is this. God's word is true regardless of if you believe it or not, because it's God's word. You understand that, right? God doesn't need you to validate his word. God's word is true. Because it's God's word. That's what Dr. Sproul used to say all the time. Look, God doesn't need you to validate anything. You can't validate anything. God's word is true, period. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. And that makes the good news even more beautiful, doesn't it? Because here's what the world's going to want to do. It's going to want to creep into your hearts, into your minds, and it's going to want to distort the good news of the gospel. Going to tell you, you're not good enough. You need to be better. You need to behave more. You need to do this. It's Christ, but you better start acting right, mister. Right? I remember what you did before you became a Christian, young man. How can you call yourself a Christian? You did that. Young lady, I know what you're thinking right now. You're trying to tell me you're a believer in Jesus Christ. See, the good news of the gospel is this. Christ Jesus has paid in full for our sins, past, present, and future. Your salvation is not dependent upon your behavior. It's dependent upon the work of God's grace in your life. Now, please, any of you walk out of here and say, bring that guy back. He told us we're allowed to sin. You missed the whole thing. You see, because when you fall in love with the real gospel of Jesus Christ, all that other stuff changes. Your behavior does get better. Your salvation is not dependent upon it. Your speech does get better. Your love for God and for other people gets stronger and more real. Why? Because you have come to understand how much God loves you, and your obedience flows from the reception of that love, right? Always be weary of a man that says, I'm saved, but look, I'm doing that. Whoa. But you following me? Someone nod up and down just so I know. We're a little bit more Baptist up toward Greenville. We like amens and a little head nodding. True. So Paul this down. This date down 10 years from now, we're coming back. I want to find 10 of you, and I want you to tell me what the gospel is. Because I'd love to hear it from you. Because you know how we live the gospel? Do you know how we live the gospel? Because that's what we're talking about now. We've transitioned into action, thought, and word, right? You know how we live it? We preach it to ourselves and to each other. Can you do that for me? Can you preach the gospel to me, please? Because I need it. I need to hear it too. Can you do that for me? Know the gospel. You've heard it. It's been read. Share the gospel. Preach and teach the gospel. And if any man ever comes into this pulpit and doesn't, throw him out of here. You got some big lads in here. Take him and get rid of him. Get him out of here. That's how strongly I feel about that. Elders. We're having elders trained, right? Installed maybe next week. I remember the bulletin and your announcement. Hear me. One of your jobs is this. Make sure what's proclaimed from here comes from the book. And make sure the good news is actually good news. And if it's not, do something about it. It's your responsibility. But also remember this. Poor Aaron would say, thanks, Todd. You got everybody sitting there with notes trying to remember everything I said. Also remember this. Be quick to preach the gospel to each other, including the man that stands up here. Because he needs to hear too. And he wants to hear. Or if he doesn't, then send him my way. Pretty big lad too. But I know this I want to hear. But I want to hear the good news. Not your version. Our Father, our God, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. But Lord, give us hearts. Oh, grant us hearts, Spirit, that we might indeed absorb the truth. That we would hear clearly the good news of Jesus Christ. That we would anchor our very souls within it. And Father, that we would get out of the road and let the Spirit guide and lead and direct our lives in it. That we would fall in love more and more and more with Christ our Lord. That we would take on the characteristics of our God and King. That our speech and our thoughts and our actions would become more like Christ. Father, we pray that people would see Christ in us. Not that there's anything good, but because of what He's done. Grant that this might be so. We thank You for the truth of Your word. And Father, it's true because of You. Again, grant that we might receive it and be changed forevermore. I thank You for this opportunity. God, the Holy Spirit, I pray that anything that might have been out of accord with Your word would be erased from these people's minds, would be destroyed from within their hearts, and that they would be not able to recall a thing. But anything that's of You, grant that it would produce fruit for Your glory. We ask this in the name of Christ alone. Amen.